All right, hello the internet. I am here with some of the guys behind the Windows Easy Transfer Wizard. I'll get you to introduce yourself, because I'll get it wrong.
Hello, I'm Duval, and I'm tester on Windows Easy Transfer team.
Hi, I'm Terry Dolan, and I'm a program manager on the Windows Easy Transfer team.
Hi, I'm Rahul, and I'm a developer on the Windows Easy Transfer team.
So guys, thank you very much for being here. I wanted to speak to the guys, or the team, I should say, behind the Windows Easy Transfer tool to find out kind of what it is, why you guys built it, and then what are the various scenarios in which I can use it to make a copy of the files and settings that are on my PC in preparation for Windows 7 RTM. So Windows 7 RTM is around the corner. We think it'll be pretty soon. General availability has been announced for October of this year. And I think once Windows 7 is in people's hands in a finished form, they're going to want to install it. And we want to make sure that when people do that, they aren't losing any files or folders, you know, or settings in that process, whether they are upgrading or doing a kind of a clean install as well. So that's where the Windows Easy Transfer tool comes in, or Wizard, excuse me. Terry, can you just quickly tell us kind of what is the tool, what does it do?
So Windows Easy Transfer is designed to help you move your files and settings from your old computer to your new computer. So, you know, particularly if you've got an old XP computer and, you know, you just went out and you bought your brand new Windows 7 computer and you want to get all your data and your settings over. So it's designed specifically to help you get up and running on Windows 7 with everything you had before.
Great. Now, we were talking before the camera started rolling. I use the word backup. Now, you said there's a difference between backup and, let's call it, transfer or migration. What are the differences? And is this a backup tool?
No, so Windows Easy Transfer is not a backup tool.
Okay.
You know, when you talk about backup, there's a lot of things you tend to think about. You know, you want to make sure your data is secure and that you can add to it later on. You can incrementally back things up. And Windows Easy Transfer really isn't designed for that. It's really meant for that one-time use of, you know, I've got my old computer, I've got my new computer, I want to get everything over.
Okay. And you were also mentioning that Windows Easy Transfer can work in two modes. One is a mode where it's creating a copy to an external device like a DVD or a CD or a USB key, and then a second mode where it's actually transferring directly between two machines. Can one of you briefly talk about how that works?
So we find that we want to allow people to get from the old computer to the new computer regardless of whether they have a home network or whether they have a USB cable that our partners build. So we can let people save their files and settings into an archive file on an external hard drive or on a network share on their home network, and then reopen that file on the new computer and load in those files and settings onto their new computer. The other mode is a direct connection. We can connect two computers together with a USB cable, which Terry can...
So we have a Belkin USB cable here, and you can pick these up in any, you know, standard computer store.
And these are relatively unique because they have two USB-A ends.
Yes.
Ends.
So it is not the kind of cable that you connect your camera.
A bridge cable, right.
So you wouldn't connect your digital camera using this kind of a cable. It's a special cable just for transferring files and settings.
Okay.
And you can also buy one of these when you're buying a new computer through Dell or something like that. They'll give you the option to add the cable to your package. The other way we can connect directly is through your home network.
Okay.
And either of those two methods will let you transfer the files and settings directly between the two machines without saving them in an intermediate place.
All right, first. So we have three machines here because we're going to do a demo. This is a Windows XP professional 32-bit desktop. You have a Vista machine here and then running the Windows 7. Is it the RC build on the far end?
This is actually newer than RC.
Okay. But so it's Windows 7, or you know, non-RTM version of Windows 7, Windows Vista, and Windows XP. Now, what you're going to show us is the what are we going to do in the XP machine? We're going to do...
So we will back up the data and settings on your XP machine and then create the Windows Easy Transfer file and take it on your Windows 7 machine and open it, and it will transfer your settings and data.
Okay, so we'll show that on Windows XP, and on Windows Vista, we'll do something different?
So on Windows Vista, we're actually going to use the cable here that we have, and we're going to do a connected direct transfer of everything.
Okay, so from what I know about the Windows Easy Transfer Wizard, is that this is a great solution whether you are buying a new machine and transferring from one to another, or you're keeping the same hardware and you just want to kind of save all your information, wipe it clean, and then install the new OS. So this tool works for both of those scenarios.
That's correct. And actually, if you've been running the Windows 7 Beta or the Windows 7 RC, Windows Easy Transfer is the recommended way in which to get to the Windows 7 RTM build.
Right. And I think you were mentioning before the cameras started rolling too that there isn't kind of formally a way to upgrade from the RC to RTM. So you do need to kind of back up, for want of a better term, your files and your settings, and this is the way to do it.
That's correct. The upgrade from the pre-release builds to RTM is blocked.
Okay. Great. Well, should we start on XP? Should we give this a go?
Sure.
All right. So what have we got here? What are we going to do?
So we have a XP machine, and this is my own machine I've been using for, let's say, 3 years, 4 years. And I bought brand new Windows 7 machine, and I want to migrate my data and settings to Windows 7 machine. So first thing I will do is I will go to the Microsoft Download Center and get the Windows 7 Windows Easy Transfer installer. So I already have it on this machine.
Now let me just jump in there very quickly. So this is a Windows XP machine, but you just mentioned you're going to get the Windows 7 version. So are there different versions of the Easy Transfer tool?
Yes, there was a version on XP. It was not called Windows Easy Transfer. It was called Files and Settings Wizard.
Okay, I'm familiar with that.
And on Vista, there was a Windows Easy Transfer, but we recommend you using Windows 7 version of Windows Easy Transfer because we made some fixes and it's pretty more advanced than Vista version of Windows.
Right, so
or XP version.
People should specifically go and download and install the Windows 7 Easy Transfer
from Download Center.
Okay, great, cool.
So I already have a installer downloaded on this machine, and I'm going to just run the installer to install Windows 7 version of Windows Easy Transfer on this machine.
Okay.
So we'll take...
And will that run on all versions of Windows XP, so Pro and Home? There's no difference.
It'll run on all versions of XP that have at least Service Pack 2.
At least Service Pack 2. Okay.
Yeah, Service Pack 2 and higher.
Okay. And obviously, if you don't have Service Pack 2 installed, I suppose install that first and then
it'll
work.
First, yes.
Okay, cool.
Same thing for Vista. We also need Service Pack 1 and higher.
Okay.
So if you have Vista RTM, you have to install Service Pack 1, and then you can use Windows Easy Transfer.
Okay. I think whilst that's installing, I mean, I know from my previous examples, when I have wanted to install a new operating system on my PC, I've manually gone through and, you know, gone through the My Documents folder to look for all my documents. Obviously, I've looked for my photos, I've looked for my music and videos, but then there's also files and things that sometimes you are kind of hidden, like some software will have its own special location where it likes to save files, and you know it can be difficult to find that. Is it accurate to say that the Windows Easy Transfer Wizard is designed to take away that pain and really just show you all the locations where your files are stored, and so you don't need to go hunting?
Yeah, so we have a number of algorithms that will scan your entire hard drive for things that look like documents.
Right.
And we are very conservative to make sure that we get more stuff than less.
Okay.
And by default, we're going to select pretty much everything that looks like a file or a document that you might want to move. So we're not going to move applications.
Okay.
So that's something that sometimes people are not sure about. We don't move applications. We will give you a list of applications that was installed on your old computer, and we're going to demo that.
Okay.
But the idea is that you can just click next, 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 and by default, everything will be moved.
So why is it that you don't move applications? Is that some... What's the reasoning there?
There are some technical
reasons. Apart from a challenge. I mean, it would obviously be a huge technical challenge.
So there are teams working to separate application state out from OS state, and that's something that's a long-term effort in Windows. Right now, the way applications work on Windows, they integrate very closely with the OS.
Sure.
And it is sometimes difficult to know what setting and what file is with the OS and what might be with an application.
Right, that makes sense.
Right. But there are other reasons as well. Application vendors may not want their applications to be moved.
Okay.
If you buy a particular application, they may want you to buy a new one for your new computer. And
some licensing issues too.
Licensing, right. I'm sure, you know, with software where you need to activate,
right,
you probably would run into some issues there with how do you transfer that activation to a brand new operating system.
It's much easier to move applications in the upgrade scenario because we reduce the scenario a little bit. You know, we know that we're coming from Vista, we know that we're going to Windows 7, we know that we're on the same piece of hardware. Those limitations help make the moving of the applications much easier.
Sure. Okay, so it looks like we've installed.
So we already got it installed here, and so you go to Start All Programs, and you will see an entry for Windows Easy Transfer.
It's at the very bottom there.
For Windows 7, and you just click there. Well, this is the Windows 7 version of Windows Easy Transfer. So we are going to create the Windows Easy Transfer file, so backup everything on a USB key. So I have a 8 gig USB key.
Right.
And I'll create that file here. So I plug it in my key.
Okay.
So on the first page, you read what it migrates and all the information you need. You click next. Here there are three methods, and one is the cable that we mentioned. There is a home network that Rahul just mentioned, and there's a third, that's the external USB drive or flash drive, so I'll choose that option.
So obviously the easy transfer cable and the network really are only options where you have another machine to transfer those files
yes.
to. And does that other machine have to be the machine you're transferring it to? Can it be a temporary machine?
No, it has to be the final machine that you're transferring to.
Right,
so
okay.
So you can only transfer to Windows 7.
Right, okay. So just to Windows 7. So yes. if you do have another machine in your house, but you only want to use it as a temporary solution, that's not really isn't the right tool for it. You need to use a USB key. Can you burn to DVD or use a hard drive?
You can use an external hard drive.
Right.
You can save your file on your computer and then burn that to DVD.
Okay.
But you can't burn directly to DVD from Windows Easy Transfer.
That's cool, but I think most people will have USB keys or at least a USB hard drive. That's a pretty easy thing to get your hands on.
Yeah, we recommend using external hard drive or USB key. That's more predictable than DVD or CD media because sometimes it gets corrupt and you might have some issues.
Of course, fantastic. All right, sorry, I interrupted. So where are we up to now?
So I select this is my old computer, and so now Easy Transfer will go and scan your machine. It will scan all the user profiles on your machine, all the data and settings too.
So the algorithms we talked about a couple minutes ago, they're running right now to find all the data on that machine.
So that's interesting. I was wondering before I met you guys this morning whether or not you had certain paths that you knew to look for. You probably have that already, but there are some algorithms that you run to just look for files that appear to be documents?
Well, at a very high level, since we build the operating system, we know what the operating system looks like.
Sure.
So we can go ahead and, you start with everything on the hard disk, if you imagine, and we can remove the operating system since we know what that looks like.
Right.
And then we have some algorithms that can very accurately, deterministically figure out what applications look like, and we can remove that. And then everything that's left over is essentially your data.
I think, there are some people who have very complicated and intricate paths in which they store their data. Sometimes they might want to hide certain files, or they want to have a structure that would seem logical to them, but perhaps other people doesn't make sense. I mean, not everyone uses the My Documents structure within the user account. I know for me, ever since Live Mesh came out, I have nothing in My Documents, and I just have a single folder on my directory, which is Live Mesh. But I think that the point is that everyone has a different way of storing files in their computer, so you do use kind of algorithms to go and find that
yes.
stuff.
So if you redirect your My Documents, a lot of people do that because they separate the system drive and data drive.
Right.
So if your My Documents are redirected, we will capture that data. We will also capture your hidden files and folders too.
Okay, great.
We think that if it is a data. So
fantastic. So is that finished now?
So it's finished scanning your machine, and you can see that on this machine we have two accounts, dad and mom, and there is a breakdown for each user account. And there is also shared items that includes everything outside your user account profiles.
Okay.
And then if you click customize, it will display how much size for each share folder,
mm-hmm.
Shell folders. And then you can also go in advance. And this is a file explorer view where it
wow.
displays what files and folders it's gathering. And here you can also customize if something is missing or something like that.
Or if you really want to dive in and just make sure that, that picture you took 2 weeks ago of your dog,
sure.
if you want to make sure that's there,
yep.
you can dive in here and you can actually see the thumbnail of the picture and make sure that it's selected.
Fantastic.
Yes. And then you can do customization. And there is a possibility that some stuff you don't want to capture because you already have a backup or something like
sure.
that. Then you can deselect it here. Then you click save, it's saved, and then you click next. Here you can provide a password so your file is password protected. We also recommend you to provide a password.
Okay. You don't have to though, it's an optional?
It's optional.
It's optional.
Okay.
So
if you do provide a password, you need to make sure you remember it.
Yes, that's a good point.
There is no secret answer to recover your password.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
so your data will be encrypted with that password.
Okay.
And if you forget it, then
you're in trouble.
You're in yeah. trouble. There's no way to get that data
back. Right, so if you are the kind of person that isn't good at remembering passwords, then, and you think that you aren't going to be misplacing the USB key in the hour between transferring files, maybe leave no password, but
it is, keep in mind, this is your data on your computer.
It sure.
can be your financial data, it can be personal documents.
That's a good point.
And if you're in a shared household or if you're in an office environment, you might want to.
Or if you're not going to be able to, be transferring those files immediately to a new machine, you got to wait a few
right.
days, then obviously. That's great. Okay.
So you select the location where you want to create the file. I select my USB flash drive and just, you can provide the different name too. but I'm going to just use the default name and
okay.
just say save. So now it's saving everything from your user accounts to a flash drive.
Okay.
And then once it's done, you can take it to the Windows 7 machine and open this file.
Okay, and we'll show that, will we?
Yeah, definitely we'll show that thing.
And you're also saying if you did want the option of burning to a CD or a DVD, this file, is there, what utility do you use to actually burn the disk? Would you have to use a third-party utility?
So it depends on the computer you're on. So in Vista, for instance, you can burn using the operating system.
Okay.
So you can save the file. We call it an easy transfer file.
Right.
You can save your easy transfer file somewhere on your hard drive and then use the OS's burning facilities to burn it to a DVD.
Okay, so the burning utility isn't actually built into Easy Transfer. It's relying on the fact that you have access to some software that can do
yes.
that.
Yes. So on XP, there is no built-in burning software, so you have to have some third-party software.
Sure, but there's some great third-party stuff out there that's both free and paid-for. That's not a problem.
Yes, but Vista has built-in CD burning software, right. So you can use that one.
Okay, so it looks like the total size there, 264 megs. So it's... So what's actually happening behind the scenes there? Are you creating like a zip archive or something, or is there compression going on? What's actually happening?
It is similar to zip archiving. We also have a compression. So right now it says 256, but your file is not going to be 256. It will be less than 256 because we have this compression algorithm going on. Depending on your if you provide the password, it will also have an encryption.
Okay.
So it will encrypt the data and all those things. So it's just creating a .make file.
Okay.
That's called Windows Easy Transfer file. That's similar to .zip file.
Right. And then actually within that, inside that file, I think some Channel 9 viewers would love to know a bit more about the structure of how that data is kind of stored and what database you use to actually show where it came from and then where it should perhaps go once you're putting it back onto Windows 7. Can you explain a bit more about that?
So the file format is proprietary.
Okay.
That means that there's really no third-party tools that can read the file.
Okay.
The structure of the file does change from version to version, but conceptually, the way it is laid out is that there's like a table of contents at the beginning. We call that the catalog.
Sure.
And that has a list of the files that we're actually copying into this archive. And it also has your settings saved in the catalog, so your register keys and so forth that are settings that are migratable or transferable. Those are saved in that catalog as well. That's really the high-level view of it.
Okay.
The low-level things change, so it's it probably doesn't make too much sense to say what it is at this moment.
Okay.
At RTM, sure, it's going to be the same at RTM, but it might be different in Windows 8.
Okay.
For instance, the format was different in Vista. The Windows 7 wizard can read the Vista format.
Okay.
And Terry can talk more about that when we get to the Vista machine.
Sure.
But overall, it's really just a content section and then the actual files.
Right, okay. So it's relatively simple.
It's relatively simple, but it's proprietary.
And where, so once you've trained, we'll show this in a minute. Actually, I'll let you continue because it looks like it's finished now.
So it's just finished creating the Windows Easy Transfer file, and then you click next, and we'll have some instruction about the what to do next.
Sure.
And then you just say click next, close. And if you look at the flash drive, there is a .make file called Windows Easy Transfer.
Okay,
file.
How big is that file, just out of interest? Because we said it was 264 megs worth of data, and so it's a bit of compression there. 215 is the total size. Okay, and we didn't add a password. So adding a password would have increased the file size slightly, would it?
Mm.
Or maybe not perceptibly?
Not much.
Okay, no problem. All right, what's the next step? What do we do now?
So next step is just remove the key and take it to your Windows 7 machine.
Yeah, this
one. And you want to
let's get this plugged in here.
All right, cool. So we're now on the Windows 7 machine. And this is not an RTM machine. This is post-RC and pre-RTM. But this experience won't change for RTM?
No.
Okay, great.
So there,
you can just open a MIG file by double-clicking, actually.
There are two ways to open the MIG file. You can launch Windows Easy Transfer on your Windows 7 machine.
Okay.
And then
that's already installed?
That's already installed on Windows 7. It's
in all SKUs?
In all client SKUs.
Okay.
So server SKUs don't have Windows Easy Transfer.
So explain that. What's the difference?
So on Windows Server, we actually have there's a separate tool that's used to migrate your server roles and settings from one server to another.
Sure.
And although it's built on the same technology platform that we use for Windows Easy Transfer, it's a completely different executable.
Right.
So Windows Easy Transfer is not designed for server SKUs, and it's not intended for use there.
Cool. That makes sense.
And the reason why is that servers are not really seen as consumer machines.
That's true. Although there are probably a lot of people watching this video that do use a service queue on right. their personal machine. But anyway.
Right. And yeah, the server role migration tool is the primary.
There is a R2. In 2008, Server 2008 R2, there is a tool called Server Migration Tool.
Is that the big brother or the little sister to this tool, or how does that work? Are you guys involved with that team?
Well, so we actually have a very broad platform stack that we utilize. Uh-huh. So the same technology that we use for Windows Easy Transfer is also used in USMT, the User State Migration Tool, mm-hmm. and it's also utilized in the Server Migration Tool, and then there's a lot of technology sharing that goes on between those three, and then also the Windows upgrade process. That's when you've got Vista on your PC and you pop in your DVD and you click upgrade. So we're sharing a lot of technology between those four interfaces.
That's fantastic. I think that makes a lot of sense. And also that kind of shows that I use the word big brother, but I kind of like the fact that there are relationships between what's going on behind the scenes here on a consumer and what's happening with servers as well.
So the interesting thing is that we actually own the whole platform for migration. So the migration engine, so to speak, is owned by our team.
Okay.
And upgrade, USMT, and Windows Easy Transfer is also owned by our team. But the server role migration tool is another, think of it as an application on top of the migration engine.
Right.
That is owned by the server team.
Okay.
And we provide them the technology that they then use in their specific scenario.
Fantastic. All right.
So over here, I've navigated to the USB drive where that will save the Easy Transfer file. The file is conveniently named Items from Old Computer.
Okay.
If I double click that, it'll open it up directly in the Windows 7 version of Easy Transfer.
So you will see that it lists all the user profile that you had on your old XP machine.
Right.
Also, how much data I gather from your old.
So that you had a dad and a mom profile. It looked like the dad profile had the majority of the data in it, and the mom profile really was probably created but never used.
Yes.
So we have a symmetrical user interface on the new computer and the old computer, and the reason for that is that you can conceive of a scenario where I want to save, or I want to transfer everything that I had from my old computer. And I want to perhaps repurpose that machine, maybe give it to someone else in the family, maybe give it for recycling or sell it or something.
Okay.
But I may not want to apply, or I may not want all the files immediately on my Windows 7 machine. I might want to kind of do a spring cleaning, so to speak.
Sure.
So we allow you to do the selection again on the new computer. You don't have to. Like over here, if I click transfer, it'll move everything that was saved in the file.
Sure.
But just like Dhaval demonstrated, the hover window over here, which is showing various categories of data, like your desktop, your internet favorites, my documents, and so forth. And I can even go to the file explorer, just like Pavel did before, and deselect certain things that I may not want to move right away.
Okay.
So the, one scenario we might think of is if you're at home, and maybe a family has one computer, and they go out and they buy, two computers, and we have two accounts on there. We have mom and dad on the old computer. Mom has her new laptop, and dad has his new laptop. So we can make the one file, and then we can go to the one computer and apply dad's data, and we can go to the other computer and apply mom's data.
Sure, that's great.
Or, and then, this could be repurposed for the children or, whatever the scenario might require.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
So here we're logged in as mom.
Okay. You were already logged in as mom?
In the Windows 7.
Okay, sure.
Yes. And there was a mom account and a dad account on the old computer.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is, if I clicked on the advanced options link at the bottom, it'll show me how these accounts are being transferred.
Okay.
So there was a dad and a mom on the old computer. There was a dad and a mom on the new computer.
Okay.
And it's smart enough to match those up.
Okay.
If there is not a dad or something that I can match it to, then it'll ask you to create a new account. And you can create an account right from Windows Easy Transfer, create user, and then map the users that way.
What about for a scenario where perhaps you had dad and mom, but they decided on the new computer we want to share a single account? Is it possible to merge those two together?
It is actually not possible to merge them.
So what in that scenario, is there a way then that you could perhaps take the files that you want to keep from one and extract them so that you can kind of perhaps manually put them back in?
You can do that. So you can deselect. I can deselect mom over here.
Yep.
And then I can apply the dad account. I could theoretically open the file again.
Okay. And then apply mom to that.
Apply mom to the
same. Right, okay. Would that overwrite? How would that work?
It should not be overwriting. So if there are duplicate files, it'll create copies.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. I get that.
But it might override some settings.
Okay.
Settings can be overwritten.
Yes. Yeah, so if mom had one desktop background and dad had one desktop background,
right,
whoever's applied last, that's going to be the desktop background that you're going to see.
Okay, yep. Cool. All right.
So over here, let's apply them both.
Okay.
Hit transfer. I'm going to minimize background.
So Rahul just mentioned that you can also do the user mapping on the advanced options, user account mapping. And let's say you don't have a mom account on your machine, then Windows User Transfer will create the user account on your machine.
Okay.
You don't have to go to the advanced option and create the user accounts.
Okay, so it will automatically create missing accounts.
Yes.
Yeah, there's really no need to go in there unless you really want to see what's going on or if you're particular about how it's going to look.
Right. Sure.
So if account doesn't exist, we will create the account.
Okay. And if there are existing accounts, will it prompt to match them up, or will it automatically align?
So what we do is we do what's called current user to current user mapping.
Okay.
So when we were on this PC, we were logged in as dad,
mm-hmm.
and whatever account we're logged in on the new computer, that's going to be the one we're going to assume we're going to be applying the one we were logged in before as.
Okay.
And then everything else, we create new accounts.
Okay.
So if there's if we had an account on the new computer for one of the children, that wouldn't have been touched at all throughout this process.
Sure. Okay. Great. Is that still processing now, or is that complete?
Yes,
winding up.
Almost still, dead.
Yeah. Depending on amount of data, it will take a few minutes.
Sure. Sure. Is there actually, that's probably a question we could ask at the end, but I'll ask it now. Is there a maximum file size for an MIG, for a MIG file? For example, if I have gigabytes of music, will it just keep adding those to the file?
The only thing to watch out for is if you're using a flash drive that's formatted as FAT32.
Right.
That file system has a 4 gigabyte limit for an individual file. So you're still okay. What we actually do is we create multiple files that we link together internally.
So you could conceivably use this tool to although backup isn't the correct word, but transfer your, 50 gig music collection. That's definitely an option.
Yes, very much so.
Is it recommended, or do you recommend with very, very large collections of things like music or videos or photos that people maybe do that separately? Or do you recommend using the transfer wizard?
I recommend using it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
When
you've
got larger data sets, it might be a little better to do what we call a connected migration, so you don't have to deal with this large file that you have to
move. And you're going to show that later on with the cable?
Yes, we're going to show
that. Okay, fantastic. So let's jump back to the...
So over here, the transfer completed. We're logged in as mom, and I think you're logged in as dad over there.
Yes.
So we actually got mom's desktop background, the wallpaper.
Yes.
But we'll log in.
No, actually, on mom, there was no desktop background.
Okay, so it's used the default.
Yeah, it is using the default one.
Once the transfer is complete, it'll give you the options to see what files were transferred.
Okay.
And settings, as well as the programs that were installed on your old computer.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
So do you want to take this, Terry?
Sure.
So you mentioned before that you don't transfer the programs or the program files, but
no.
So what happens instead?
So instead what we did is we actually, when we were on the old computer, the application went through and it inventoried the programs that were installed on there.
Okay.
So we made a list of those programs, and on the new computer here, we're presenting this list to you. And what we're actually doing is when we present it, we also go through on the new computer and we do an inventory and we compare them. So if we look at this particular example here, it's showing us that Adobe Flash is already installed here.
Okay.
So what's actually interesting is this is dynamically updated. So we can go ahead right now and we could go download iTunes and install iTunes, and it's going to, as it's installed, it'll get the little green check mark next to it saying that it's done.
Okay, fantastic.
So one interesting thing to point out here on this list is going to Windows 7, some applications like Outlook Express, which was in XP, we no longer have a mail program built into Windows 7.
Right.
So at the very top of that window there, we have a list of these features that were included in the previous operating system but aren't present in the new operating system. And we're just calling out, hey, it's not there. We actually still moved over the settings for those applications. So for example, if you're using Outlook Express on XP and then you went and you downloaded either a third-party mail application or you went and got Windows Live Mail, they can go ahead and pick up that settings in your mail. They're all there.
Oh,
but
wow.
You just don't have the application there since it's not in the product.
And is there a recommendation, for example, you could argue that Outlook Express was replaced with Windows Live Mail. Does it actually mention that there Outlook Express was not transferred, but here's a link to go get Windows Live Mail?
So we do have a link for more information.
Sure. And that information is there. Great, fantastic.
So we have internet here. we grab these links that are associated with the program on your old computer.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to give me a session over.
So let's say if you go to like QuickTime and click the more information, and
so you had QuickTime installed on the XP machine.
On XP machine, QuickTime and iTunes was installed. On Win 7 machine, you don't have iTunes installed, so it will list that it is not installed on your machine.
Okay.
It will provide some links, and you can just go to it and you will see that.
Great.
It will take you to the Apple QuickTime site, and you can just go and download the QuickTime.
So we're trying not only to tell you what applications you had, but really help you get up and going and get them installed again.
And how do you do that? Have you guys created an online database or something of all these most commonly installed programs and then where you can go for new versions?
So it's actually much more simplistic than that.
Okay.
When you install an application, there's a way with, like for example, with MSI, the installation platform that we have with Windows, your MSI package, your installation package, can list out website links to the vendor. So that in this particular case, Apple, when they made the QuickTime installer, they listed out links for support and for, here's where you go get it, all in the MSI package.
Oh,
and that
great.
Gets stored in the OS. So when we were gathering and inventorying the listed applications, we were grabbing these links as well. And that's what we're presenting to the user with the post-migration experience.
And what about applications that didn't have an MSI install experience, just a standard EXE? How do you go out and find information on where the user can go and get, to download that software again?
So we only list applications that will show up in your add remove program on your old machine.
Oh, okay.
So if you have some EXEs that is not installed, it's just copied manually, then it will not show up on your...
Okay, so it's based on what shows up in your
add remove program on
okay,
your
so
old machine.
That makes
machine.
Perfect sense.
And it also, the links are also based on if ISV, they provide the link. So in case of a Yahoo Messenger, Yahoo doesn't provide any link, then you won't see any link on your...
Okay.
You will see Android that says Yahoo Messenger, but there won't be any link to go to Yahoo Messenger downloads.
Okay. So you're installing here again, is it iTunes or QuickTime or
just
both?
QuickTime.
Just QuickTime.
Oh, did it actually already indicate here that we have it?
So at this point, it's set the registry key that we watch for the Apple software update, for instance. And
QuickTime is now installed.
QuickTime and the Apple software update is now installed.
So as soon as it is installed, you will see that it's populating the list and it says it's already installed.
Okay.
Heatrace antivirus is already there.
So obviously you can just kind of go through this list one after the other and work out, do I want to reinstall this software? Has it been replaced by something else? And then if I do, hopefully the information will be there to go get it.
Exactly.
And you can also get the latest version too. Let's say you have an older version of QuickTime on your old machine, and then here you can go and get the latest and greatest version of the application.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So this is actually, I guess, a good segue here to say that although we don't transfer the applications, we will transfer their settings.
Oh, okay.
So for example here, with iTunes, if you had... I guess I'm not sure exactly how deep we go, but I think if you have playlist files, for example, we'll transfer those and we'll reassociate them with your music library.
What about the music library, you're not transferring that? That need to be recreated on the new machine?
No, that will also be there as well.
Oh, okay. Wow, everything's there.
The other tab on this report, so we call this inventory of applications, Windows Easy Transfer Reports.
Mm-hmm.
The other tab over here shows you the user accounts and the documents and the program settings that were transferred. So I can click here. And the details will show me that mom was transferred to the mom account on my Win 7 machine and dad transferred to dad. If I click on details under documents, I can have a look at all the documents that were moved and the location on this PC where they were moved to.
Oh, wow.
They're going to be moved to the matching location. So, for instance, documents and settings in XP maps to username and then documents on Win 7 and Vista. If you're moving from Vista to Win 7, that mapping is pretty much the same. It hasn't changed. And you can save this report for later if you forget what something was.
And the other key thing there is Windows Easy Transfer Reports, although we launch it, you have the ability to launch it when the migration's done. All this data is still here. We can go ahead and we can close out Windows Easy Transfer Reports, and 2 days later we can open it back up.
Okay.
And it's still there. It's still going to show me the list of files that were transferred, and still we'll still have that list of applications.
Fantastic.
So if I had closed Windows Easy Transfer, like Terry mentioned, and 2 days later I want to see what other applications I need to install, and go to the start menu, type in Windows Easy Transfer. I can see Windows Easy Transfer Reports and Windows Easy Transfer. I want to go to Reports.
Okay.
It does require administrator access. And it's the report.
That information is there again. And you said it's dynamically updated, so even 6 months from now, you can kind of go back. Because you could be like, oh, there was that software I had on my old XP machine, and I don't think I got around to installing it, and I can't remember the name. go back to the list and say
it is it's fantastic. Stay there. If you do multiple migrations, multiple transfers, there'll be a report for each one.
For each one, right.
And so in this particular case, we have one in the list, and we have the date and time at which the migration occurred listed there.
That's cool.
So the next step, or the next thing we want to demo, is a connected migration, a connected transfer between Vista and Windows 7. We're going to get the Windows Easy Transfer 7 version of the software onto Vista in a different way. So Tavel demonstrated how we got it from a CD that comes with your Belkin cable. So if you buy a Belkin cable, you'll get a CD and you can install the wizard that way.
Okay.
You can also download it from the download center.
Sure.
Let's say you don't have either of those. You don't have the cable for some reason, or you lost the CD, you bought the cable a while ago, and you don't have internet connectivity for some reason.
Right.
Or if you had purchased the cable with when you got a Vista computer, and you have a CD that has the Vista Windows Easy Transfer on it, we really want you to use the Windows 7 Easy Transfer. So we have another way to transfer the wizard down to Vista here that we're going to show you.
So we're going to launch the wizard on Windows 7. Go to the Start menu, type in Windows Easy Transfer. Launch the wizard, and I'm going to demonstrate how to create an installer for the wizard from your Windows 7 machine. So I bought this Windows 7 machine. I have my old Vista machine, and I need to install the new version of the wizard on Vista so I can start the transfer.
And again, you don't have the CD, and you don't,
have
internet.
The CD, and I don't have the internet, or I don't even know about.
Sure.
It's on the download center, for instance. Click Next. I'm going to use the cable this time around, using the new computer, and I need to install it on my old computer. So I'm going to select the first option here. And I'm going to install it to this USB flash drive that I've got lying around my house.
Okay. Just unplug that one?
Yes. Click this. And at this point, the wizard is creating an installation package of itself on the USB key. The thing to note is that when I do run it on Vista, it's going to run it from the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to leave the new wizard on Vista.
Okay. And is there a reason for that?
We don't want to necessarily install on the user's machine permanently.
Okay.
Unless they're explicitly going to the download center or the CD and saying install Windows Easy Transfer on my old computer.
Okay.
So if they just want to do a migration, when we're installing it, when we're quote unquote installing it via the USB key, it's really just running it from the key.
Okay, cool.
So right now, it's just copying all the bits that we need to run on Vista machine.
Okay.
And it actually copies over an auto-run file. So when we go ahead and we plug this in on Vista here, it's going to detect that and ask us, do you want to look at the files on the device, or do you want to actually run Windows Easy Transfer?
Okay.
So it's copied the installer to the USB key. If I click on that link, it'll show me where it was copied to. Take this out of here, hand it over to Terry.
And when we plug it into our Vista computer here, let's get that in there. So plug and play is running here to get the driver installed, and then so here's the autoplay.
Okay.
If we didn't want to run Windows Easy Transfer, we can click on the folder here, and we see the same thing that we did before. And then if we do it again, and we actually click on the other option, we can launch Windows Easy Transfer. We can start it manually here. There's a shortcut, and we click on that. So we're extracting the programs here to a temporary location on the machine, and here we are. So we go, it's going to ask me, how do I want to transfer? Well, we have our cable here, so we want to go ahead and say an easy transfer cable.
Just quickly there, the option there was also over a network.
Yes.
Now, does the network need to be a crossover direct connection, or can it be through a hub or a switch or a router?
No, so it can actually be through your wireless network or through your whatever network you have at home.
As long as there's some kind of network connection between the two PCs.
Exactly.
Okay, fantastic.
You go through a process where it gives you a key for you to go ahead and enter on the old computer to associate with the new computer.
Okay.
So in this particular case, we're going to choose an easy transfer cable. And since we brought this down to Vista, it knows that this is our old computer. So we select that. And it's telling us to go to the new computer and open it, which we've already done. And we click Next. And then when we plug the cable in here, let's find the other end here. The two are searching right now for each other.
And again, this is a a special USB cable. It's not just a standard A to B or a kind of a male to female. This is, it's got two male ANs, and it's Belkin makes it.
Belkin makes it, and there are some other manufacturers.
Sure.
And this is, you know, this is what it requires, a piece of silicon in here to communicate between the two computers.
Right, and if you, can you buy these on Newegg? Are these on, like, standard kind of computer software and hardware sites?
You can buy Best Buy, and you can also buy Dell. I'm not sure about Newegg.
Okay.
At this point, though, there are a number of manufacturers that make
I saw on buy.com, too.
Buy.com? Okay,
you can
cool.
Buy it on
it's like any other piece of hardware that you might want to purchase.
All right.
So what's interesting and different here in this scenario is... the brand new computer, the Windows 7 machine, is showing us what's going on the old computer.
Oh, okay.
The Vista computer, the old computer here, it just has a window, you know, saying we're transferring files and settings. Please don't use the computer.
Okay.
And in the meantime here, everything's being presented on the new computer. And it's all communicating over the wire here to detect what files we're moving.
Okay.
So the accounts you're seeing here on your Windows 7 machine are the accounts that are actually on your Vista machine.
Okay, interesting.
So the idea is that we want the user to use their Win 7 machine as soon as they open it out
right.
of the box. We don't want them to spend 3 hours on their Vista machine trying to transfer things over.
Makes sense.
We want them to be on Windows 7, install the wizard there, and then click Next, connect, and then just drive from your Windows 7 machine.
Okay.
So if I go back to the File Explorer, for instance, and I look at my pictures, let's go to the sample pictures, if we can.
We can go into the desktop file there.
We're pulling the thumbnails over as well from your old computer, and I can take a look at these thumbnails as a preview and so forth.
And that's just proving there that it's actually accessing the files on the Vista machine.
The Vista
I can just
machine.
See. Cool, okay.
I'm going to hit transfer at this point.
Okay.
I've already demonstrated the customization and so forth with the disconnected.
So this was 1.3 gigabytes here that we're now setting to transfer up over USB.
Right.
And we do utilize USB 2.0, mm-hmm. so it's relatively speedy once it gets going here.
Sure. Which is, what, somewhere around about 400 megabit per second? Is that accurate?
Yes,
that's true.
Right.
So we assume that you have a USB 2.0 on your old computer, because
sure.
a lot of old computers, they don't have USB 2.0.
Now you can do this from a Windows XP machine as well, is that correct?
Yes.
So the easy transfer and the network option is available on both Vista and XP.
That's correct.
At this point, let's talk about some of the older versions of Windows, because easy transfer only works on these three most current version, is that correct?
That's correct. And more specifically, you can only apply files and settings to Windows 7.
Oh, okay.
So you can gather files and settings from XP, Vista, or Windows 7, but you must be going to Windows 7.
Okay.
And as we discussed earlier, you can be coming from a pre-release version of Windows 7. You can use Windows Easy Transfer to move to the RTM version.
And are there any limitations between going from 32 and 64-bit versions?
Very good question. We support going 32 to 64-bit,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, 32 to 32 and 64 to 64, but we don't support the 64-bit down to 32.
Okay.
So we support cross-architecture as 32 to 64 and 64 to 64. We also support cross-language, so you can go from an English to a French, for instance.
Oh, wow.
In that scenario, we support only data, not settings.
Right, because the settings don't line up between the two different versions. Is that accurate?
They don't line up. Many settings actually have language-dependent paths, for instance,
sure.
that are not necessarily going to be the same.
Okay, so if you're going from one language to another language, if you're going from 32 to 64-bit, you don't get settings, but you will still get the software inventory,
mm-hmm.
and you will still get your files actually
yes.
transferring. Okay, fantastic.
And one key point we forgot to mention here is you have to be an administrator to run the migration on both machines.
Oh, okay. So that's a good point. So is there a very quick way for people to work out whether or not they are an administrator? Maybe they've forgotten if they created an administrator account for themselves?
So if they launch the Windows Easy Transfer from user account, and if user account is not administrator, then Windows Easy Transfer will have a message that says you have to be an administrator on that.
Okay, machine. And are there then some instructions on how you can go about creating or changing your account to be an administrator? I can just think of a scenario here where mom and dad maybe, you know, set up the computer a few years ago, don't remember, and perhaps might need some help in making that change.
No, we don't provide any instruction how they can create a Windows administrator account, but they can go to Microsoft website and learn how to create the user account
okay.
with the
cool.
administrator rights.
So how are we going on that Win 7 machine?
It's winding up.
So it's nearly complete here, but as we can see, the desktop background we had on Vista has already been applied to the Windows 7 machine.
Okay.
So it's already, you know, my new computer is already starting to feel like my old computer.
So it's happening dynamically
as
it goes. That's cool.
So in XP, we didn't change any desktop background, so you didn't see any new desktop background, but here you already see that it's already look like your old machine.
We can see it's mirroring the two, yeah.
It's mirroring the same thing. And all the data from your desktop, you can see that it's already migrated on your desktop onto the machine too.
So I mean, we've talked details here about what we transfer and what we don't transfer, but at the end of the day, it's all about making your new computer feel like home.
Right. That's good. Yeah, that's a great. That's a good tagline. Put it on a T-shirt. That'd be good.
I brought up the reports again over here.
Okay.
We actually now have two reports. The one we transferred 10 minutes ago.
Sure.
And 23 minutes ago, and the one we did right now. So I can select the old one and look at what I transferred earlier. Here's the new one.
If we go over to the program report, right, the applications we previously installed are going to be listed here.
Yes.
We installed them on the PC.
So we installed iTunes here earlier. It's already installed.
Fantastic.
And if mom and dad had different iTunes settings associated, those are now, you know, uniquely transferred to each account.
Okay, great. So is that now complete on this particular
yes,
scenario?
Yes, it is. Cool.
So the only scenario we haven't shown is over a network connection. But it sounds like there's really nothing different except for you'll be creating a connection over a network. You need to ensure that they're both connected.
We can show them real quick how it looks on the machines.
The only real difference is that you know, we have to know that we're connecting the right two computers together.
Okay.
So you want them both to be on your same network, and that's actually very important. We don't support across subnets.
Across subnet.
Okay.
So you've got to be on the same network, and then you know, when you go through the new computer, it's going to give you a key.
Okay.
And you want to take that key to the old computer along with you know, the Windows 7 version of what Windows Ease Transfer, and then you want to put that key in when it asks you.
We can demonstrate that.
So we can demonstrate real quick. So on the
this machine is not on the network, but we can show.
So we are not going to run the migration, but we'll just show how it look. What's the experience?
Okay.
So I'm going to launch the Windows Ease Transfer from the USB key that we just already have.
A second time. Okay.
And here we'll select the network connection. Okay, I have to unplug the cable because we also detect the cable.
Sure, no problem.
So once cable is unplugged, let's say resume the transfer, I click next, and here I select the network connection, and I select this is my old computer. It displays the Windows Ease Transfer key. Now on the new Windows 7 machine, you follow the same step, but when you select the new PC, it'll have a edit box where you can provide this key.
So okay, I type in the same key, it'd be 131.9.36, and if this machine were on the network, the Vista machine, if it were on the network,
they'll connect.
They would connect together.
Okay.
The reason we do it this way is that we don't want the user to have to figure out what their IP address is and what their computer name is.
Exactly.
Things like that. We just want to make it as straightforward as possible.
Makes
sense. You see a key on this machine, type it on this machine, and boom, you're done.
That's fantastic. Now, you mentioned before this will work over a wireless connection.
Yes.
And what if I have, you know, I don't know why you would, but what if I wanted to use a crossover network cable between the two machines?
A crossover network cable.
Obviously, you need statically assigned IPs.
You need statically assigned IPs and the same subnet. We haven't actually tested that scenario. It's not a scenario we support.
We don't support that scenario. So.
But
I don't know if anyone would use that, though. It's kind of a bit obtuse.
Right, right. It's a little odd. I think if you have static IPs, and as long as you support multicast on that, it should be fine. I think the media doesn't matter. I'm not entirely sure how crossovers. How well they simulate an actual network.
So that we're kind of wrapping it up now. This brings us to the end. Are there any scenarios, and I can think of one, are there any scenarios where Windows Ease Transfer Wizard probably isn't the right thing to use? I mean, I can't think of any. The only thing I would point out is that if you are going from an even older version of Windows, the tool doesn't actually support that. So if you're on 98 or ME or 2000 or something before then, this tool would not work at all. Is that correct?
That's correct. But if you... the one scenario where you might want to consider not using Windows Transfer might be if you have, you know, if you do have Windows Vista on your on one computer and you do want to get Windows 7 on that same computer, you can go ahead and you can use our upgrade process to get there.
Right.
That'll, you know, you pop in the DVD, you click upgrade, and it'll bring you into Windows 7 with all your data, all your settings, and all your applications.
Oh, okay. So if I actually want to do the proper OS upgrade, then although still it might be a good idea to create a second backup using the Ease Transfer tool.
Well, we're getting back to that. We're using the word backup.
I'm sorry. Because I could create the MIG file, and I could probably extol that externally just in case, you know, to make sure nothing goes wrong.
That's not the... We don't truly support that.
Okay.
But, you know, of course, you could do it.
Okay. No problems.
Upgrade has a pretty good... Upgrade has the same design as Windows Ease Transfer. It will save, it will keep all your data and settings.
And the way Upgrade is designed, actually, is if you encounter a failure, we bring you back to the OS you started from.
Oh, okay, that's fantastic.
But if you were on the same computer and you wanted to do a clean install, that's where Windows Easy Transfer is a fantastic solution to get you on the clean Windows 7 version, you know, with all your data and settings.
Now, we'll put the link up on the screen. We'll put it on the Channel 9 website as well. But again, to get the tool, it's already part of Windows 7 if you're running a Windows 7 build. And obviously, it'll be part of the Windows 7 RTM for all client SKUs.
All client SKUs.
And plus, you can download it off the web from the Download Center. Is that correct?
Yes,
and if you go and you buy a Easy Transfer cable, it's going to come with a CD that will also have Easy Transfer on it.
Okay.
And if you have neither of those, you can create an installer from your Windows 7 machine.
So there's lots and lots of options.
We really want you to use the tool.
Do you guys have, is there a Windows Easy Transfer website? Do you have windowseasytransfer.com?
There is actually a website that will be available when Windows 7 is released that will walk you through step-by-step how to do all of this.
Fantastic. All right. It's a fantastic tool. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening, guys. Thanks for your time. Hopefully, this will make the upgrade process much easier for a lot of people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.